Good morning and welcome to all, especially our guests. You join us here for this celebration of the Mass and the solemnity of the Epiphany of the Lord, and also a Happy New Year's to everyone. I just didn't get to see you at midweek. Please notice we have a busy week that's going on. I'm hearing confessions Tuesday night from 6 to 7, also on Wednesdays from 5:30 until the 6 o'clock Mass. We have our parent information meeting for the middle school and high school youth for the new direction we're going with our youth ministry for the parish. It's at 7 on Wednesday in the parish hall. And also there's an execution at the penitentiary on Thursday evening. And so we'll have a prayer vigil at 5:30 in the chapel, and also I'll be present at a similar vigil in McAllister at 5 o'clock. And also, tomorrow is Bishop Slattery's 20th anniversary of consecration as our bishop. And so please remember him in your prayers, not only tomorrow, but throughout the remainder of this week particularly. Also know we have our parish mission, January the 19th to the 21st, with Father Tom McCarthy. And I encourage you to invite others to come and join us, whether they're members of other parishes here in the Tulsa area, or whether they are Catholic but not active in their faith, or if they have no church home, invite them and to be with us for the mission with Father McCarthy. Now, concerning a certain sporting event on Friday evening in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, all I will say, it's only a game. It's only a game. I will just keep repeating that mantra over and over again until I maybe believe it. So, on this first Sunday of the new year, this Epiphany of the Lord that we celebrate, it's that event in Matthew's Gospel in which men from a far country come and they bring gifts to the newborn infant Jesus. And just like in Luke's Gospel that we hear on Christmas Eve with the angels and the shepherds and the star, so to this account in Matthew of the Magi, as they're called, is one that seems to capture the imagination. It is repeatedly depicted in art in many different ways. Also in music, some of the of our favorite songs of this time of the year have to do with the bringing of the gifts to the newborn Jesus. Traditionally, it's celebrated on January the 6th, right after the end of those 12 days of Christmas, you know, the ones with the Lords a-leaping and eggs a-laying and so on. But in our country, as well as others, we typically now celebrate it on the Sunday closest to that date. And in many countries in Latin America, it's January the 6th is the day in which gifts are exchanged, not on Christmas. Now, giving and receiving gifts sometimes it can be a tricky business. As in when you receive something that you really don't want, or you look at it and you think, what is this? Remember those socks you got for Christmas when you were a child? And you had to put on a good front for Grandma? Say thank you? Now, I'm fine receiving socks on Christmas, as long as they're black. I will put them to good use, I guarantee you, and I often need them. And just let me say as a side, thank you for the many gifts of generosity in prayers for me as the pastor during Christmas. I am blessed to be here with you. Now, when it comes to this giving and receiving of gift business, it's to avoid awkwardness when we get something that we may not want. A Christmas wish list is appropriate. Also, gift cards are handy, and if all else fails, cash. That tends to work pretty well. This exchange of gifts says a great deal about the one who gives and the one who receives. And I think the better that we know someone, the more likely that we're going to give a gift that is appropriate and that will avoid any awkward moments. And the gifts given at Epiphany speak volumes about the givers as well as the receiver. And this word epiphany, it comes from a Greek word that means to reveal or to make known. And these unique gifts reveal much. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Frankincense comes from a tree resin in places in the Arabian Peninsula. Myrrh is an ointment. And they say much about the meaning of the incarnation, of the Word becoming flesh that we celebrate at Christmas. That gift of gold, in the ancient world, it's not just something that you get for retirement. You kind of bank ahead in case the economy goes south. Rather, In the ancient world, it's a gift that you present to a king. And this gift is saying to us that Jesus is not just the King of the Jewish people, but the King of creation. Frankincense is used for worship, a gift for God. And Jesus, we're told, is God, the Son made flesh. Myrrh is used in the ancient world to anoint a body prior to burial. For this infant in Mary's arms will one day be nailed to a cross. And be offered as that sacred offering to take away the sins of the world. So once again in the days that follow Christmas, we are reminded of the meaning of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. That the one who receives the gifts is revealed to us today as King, as God, and sacrifice. And this is the Epiphany. These gifts also reveal a great deal about the givers. They're typically referred to as the Magi, which is usually translated to mean kings or wise men. And they stand in contrast to Herod, the king of Judea. You know, last Sunday we heard about that contrast between Herod and Joseph, this husband of Mary. Herod, who's the great king, the great builder, and also the ruthless political leader for whom Jesus is a threat who must be destroyed. As opposed to Joseph, the laborer, the nobody, who listens to God, acts upon what he hears, and is faithful to the responsibilities to whom God has entrusted to him. For Joseph welcomes Jesus and his mother into his life. And that's the basis of his holiness. And this Sunday, that's other contrast between Herod and those who bring the gifts. You know, we don't even know their names. There's a later tradition in which they're given the names Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar. But we don't know that for certain. We don't know where they're from. We're told that they are from the east, or literally from beyond the rising sun. The name Magi suggests that they are from Persia, modern-day Iran, and they're men of some religious position who study the stars. Nor do we know exactly how many they are. There are three gifts, so we assume that there are three. That's how we usually depict them in art. But we don't know. We just know that there's more than one. You know, at least with Joseph, we had a name, we had a location, we had an occupation to hang something on. With the Magi, we have none of that. All we know for certain is that they are distinguished foreigners. And they travel a great distance on this journey. And in the ancient world, to go on a journey was often dangerous and difficult. But they're drawn to encounter Jesus. They're drawn to acknowledge Christ without any awkwardness, that this newborn King is the Word made flesh to live among us, to die, and to be raised up for the salvation of all the world. You know, today we hear also from the prophet Isaiah and St. Paul the Apostle. They speak of all the nations, as we heard in the psalm, being gathered into one, being drawn together in union, in sacred communion with God. And the Magi, we should think of them as the first representatives of this gathering. And that too is an epiphany, what is being revealed, that Christ comes for all the peoples of the world. And these Magi, they follow a star, an interesting GPS device. If ever used one in a car or vehicle, you can set them on a vocal. Usually it's a very pleasant sounding voice. At 100 yards, turn left, turn right. You have missed your destination. Usually that's what it says to me, because I usually have a difficulty at times with that. The Magi study the stars, and a star guides them. Perhaps what's being revealed to us in Matthew is that the birth of this new king, the incarnation, the birth of the Christ, takes place to realign the entire cosmos into its proper place. That place that has been lost by sin. And this too is the epiphany of what is revealed. Now to Herod, the child that the Magi seek is a rival, a threat to his power. His birth is the last gift he ever wants to receive. So in response, he puts on a good front. And this time, it's false piety. And it's an old trick to use good people, or to use something good such as religion, for a selfish purpose. Because he hopes the foreigners from the east will lead him to Jesus, not to offer worship, but to kill him. And the Magi, I think of them as representing that human desire for God, that response to that desire, that holiness, even though we often cannot put a name to it. And they travel a great distance from a far country in response to that desire to encounter Christ, to acknowledge Him, and to offer Him their very lives. That's the desire for the holy that every one of us has. And the Epiphany challenges us to be aware of this desire and to respond to it with our own journey, a journey of faith, usually an interior one, that we often begin in a far country, a place far from God, even from beyond the rising sun. And we are often perhaps reluctant or anxious at times because the journey is difficult and has its dangers. And in this journey, we follow the light of Christ so that our lives can be brought back into proper alignment with God, with all of creation. In contrast, Herod represents that unholy addiction to selfishness, to power, and the use of violence to hold on to it by any means. And that's what the Herods of the world always do. Notice the Magi, once they have encountered Christ and offer Him their gifts, they return to their homes by a different route. They avoid Herod altogether. For once we have encountered Christ, we cannot go back the way we came. On this first Sunday of the new year, we come to offer our gifts of praise, of thanksgiving to God through Christ in the Holy Spirit. It's the offering of the Mass as Christ offers to us His body and blood, soul and divinity in the Eucharist. For in this encounter, is to be the desire of our hearts. This holy exchange of gifts speaks volumes about Jesus and about us, of who we are to be as His body, the Church. And this, too, is the Epiphany, what is revealed to us this day.